Thank you and good morning. Welcome to our program. Last week, we began answering the question, why do people misunderstand the Bible? One reason for division in the religious world is that many people misunderstand the Bible. We emphasized the fact last week that the Bible can be understood and it can be understood alike. The Bible is not the cause of religious division. The blame for religious division rests on the shoulders of man. Many of us approach the Bible with wrong motives and attitudes that adversely affect our reading of the Bible. If we will read the Bible with open hearts, honest hearts, genuinely wanting to know God's will for our lives, then the Lord has promised that we will understand it. You know, in the parable of the sower, Jesus tells of a sower who went out to sow his seed. And the seed fell upon different kinds of soil, the wayside soil, the stony ground, the soil that had thorns, and then the good ground. The seed in this parable represents the Word of God, and the soils represent different kinds of hearts. Concerning the wayside soil, Jesus said, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it," Matthew 13, verse 19. Notice, this one hears the word, but he doesn't understand it. His heart is not open to the word. But the seed that fell on the good ground, Jesus said, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. Matthew 13, verse 23. Well, what kind of heart is the one who is described as the good ground who understands the word? Well, in Luke's account of this parable, it says, "And that in the good ground these are such as in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, hold it fast and bring forth fruit with patience." Luke 8, verse 15. Those who have an honest and good heart will understand the word and bear fruit in their lives. My coming to an understanding of the Bible, then, is all determined by the kind of heart I have when I read and study the Bible. Well, last week, we began looking at some rules for misunderstanding the Bible. We are considering these rules so that we can avoid them when we study God's Word. Our primary purpose in these lessons is to learn what kind of heart we need to have and what we can do to come to an understanding of God's Word, the Bible. Well, last week, we mentioned that if you want to misunderstand the Bible, then tell yourself that you cannot understand it, and that it is impossible for people to understand it alike. But we showed last week from Scripture that we can understand the Bible, and it can be understood alike. We must believe this if we're to understand the Bible. And secondly, we mentioned that if you want to misunderstand the Bible, then think on a carnal level. In other words, study the Bible with the desire to find justification for satisfying your fleshly lusts. Doing this, you will surely twist and distort passages of Scripture to make them fit in with your worldly pleasures. And thirdly, we said last week that if you want to misunderstand the Bible, then make up your mind about what you believe before you even open the Bible. Doing this, you will use the Bible to try to prove what you already believe, rather than going to the Bible to determine what you should believe. And then fourthly, if you want to misunderstand the Bible, then never look at parallel verses. In other words, don't let the Bible define its own terms, but define them the way you choose. You know, words are conveyors of thought, and God has chosen to convey His thoughts to us by means of words, the words of the Bible. If we're to know what God's thoughts are, we must know the meanings of the words. You know, many times the Bible defines its own terms. We can look at parallel passages where the same words or phrases are used to help us understand the meaning of those phrases. For example, in Acts 2, verse 38, Peter told inquiring Jews to repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now notice, they were told to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now there are those who will say that this baptism in the name of Jesus is not water baptism, but spiritual baptism. Well, how do we know? Well, in Acts chapter 10, we read of Peter coming to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, to preach the gospel to him and to his household that they might be saved. As Peter began to speak, it says, the Holy Spirit fell upon them. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, the Lord did this in order to prove to the Jews there that these Gentiles could believe and be saved just like the Jews. And then Peter said, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 10, verses 47 and 48. Now notice, baptism in the name of the Lord is water baptism. And so when Peter commanded the Jews in Acts 2 to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, there is no question that this baptism is water baptism. It is baptism in the name of the Lord. Notice how the Bible here defines its own terms. When we read the Bible, we need to make sure that we are defining words and terms in the way God intended. And then fifthly, to misunderstand the Bible, be picky and choosy about what you read. In other words, pick and choose whatever you like and disregard the rest. I was studying with a woman who believed that we should allow women to preach in our public assemblies. Well, I directed her to 1 Timothy 2, verses 12 through 14, where Paul said, and I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. Well, she looked at that passage and then said, well, Paul was wrong. Well, since what Paul said did not fit her way of thinking, she was ready to discard what Paul said and declare it wrong. She had become a judge of the Word rather than becoming a doer of the Word. James says in James 4 and verse 11, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge. You see, by refusing to do what the law commanded concerning love for and proper treatment of a brother, such a person passes judgment upon the law by declaring that it is not worthy to be obeyed. He is, in effect, saying that this law is a bad one or defective and therefore may be disregarded. Well, he is a judge of the law and not a doer of the law. James also says in James 2 and verse 10, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Well, how is a person guilty of all by stumbling in just one point of the law? Well, let me illustrate. There was a father who told his son to go and build their farm. The father gave him a blueprint of how it was to be built, and the son was told to build it exactly as the blueprint specified. Well, the blueprint instructed the son where the farmhouse was to be built and how it was to be built. It also specified that the barn was to be built so many yards behind the house, and a silo next to the barn. The blueprint showed where the fences were to be laid out. Well, the son built everything according to the blueprint, except he thought the silo should be further away from the barn, so he built it where he thought it best to be located. When the father came and inspected his work, he was very much displeased with his son. The son said, Father, I did everything as you wanted me to do, except I moved the silo a few yards. Well, the father said to his son, Son, you didn't do anything I told you to do. You did what you wanted. The reason you built the house where and how the blueprint specified is because that's what you wanted. The reason you built the barn and the fences as the blueprint instructed is because you agreed with it. The reason you moved the silo is because that is what you wanted. You did what you wanted in the building of this farm rather than what I wanted you to do. And you know, that's right. By changing one thing, he showed that he was not submissive to the Father, but was rather dictated by his own likes and dislikes. And in the same way, when we choose to disregard what God has said because we don't agree with it or we don't like it, even in one point, we show ourselves as lawbreakers rather than doers of the law. In order to come to a proper understanding of the Word of God, we must be open to whatever He says and to do it whether we like it or not. And then number 6, if you want to misunderstand the Bible, then take the attitude that says, it doesn't matter what you believe anyway. You see, with this attitude, you will have an excuse when you find a passage you don't like. You can make it say what you want it to say because you have concluded that it doesn't matter what you believe. But it does matter what we believe and practice in religion. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. In order to enter the kingdom of heaven, we must do the will of the Father in heaven. But to do the will of the Father, we must understand what that will is. It does matter whether I understand the Word of God or not. And then number 7, if you want to misunderstand the Bible, then accept your feelings and not the Bible as the final authority. You know, there are those who say they know they are saved because they can feel it in their heart as they're patting their chest. You know, the only way we can know we're right with God is by what He says. When we do what He says we must do to be saved, then we know that we're saved because we know God always fulfills His promises. And then we rejoice, have a good feeling, because we know that we're saved. Now, the good feeling is the result of knowing that we are saved and not the evidence that we are saved. For example, in Acts 8, we read of the conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch. Verse 35 says that Philip preached Jesus to him. The eunuch heard the word and then he obeyed it. He believed and was baptized as he was taught by the word. Read verses 35 through 38. And then verse 39 says, now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now the eunuch is rejoicing. He has a good feeling. But the good feeling was not evidence that he was saved, but rather the result of his knowing that he was saved. He knew that he was saved because he did what God said. It is possible to have a good feeling about what we do, but be wrong in what we're doing. You know, Jesus said to his apostles in John 16 that the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Now, this person may feel good about killing an apostle, thinking he is offering God service, but he is wrong. Our feelings, you see, are not reliable. We can feel one way and the truth be something else. You will never find in Scripture where one's feelings were evidence that he was right with God. But if we accept our feelings as authority rather than the Bible, then we will not come to an understanding of the Bible. Well, our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. If you would like an audio CD copy of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, then just give us your name and address, and we'll be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. Also, if you have a question that you would like for us to address on a future program, then we would like to hear from you. There are 3 ways that you may send in your request or ask your questions. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@fidnet.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. Our address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.